Because here's the thing, there is no next best thing when it comes to Jesus. He is the only one that I want to tell people about. I love my family. I love the opportunity to come and preach. I love the opportunity to spend time with friends. But I want to never fail to mention Jesus. He is the way, He is the reason why I am the way I am. He is the reason why you are the way you are. You may say, well, what does that mean? Well, if you're here and saved, He's the reason why you are saved. There is no other way. Sister, so many people are looking for another way. They're looking for another opportunity. They're looking for another hope. They're looking for another, perhaps just another direction. But the fact of the matter is that there is no other direction. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I'm thankful to tell you this, that there is no other way that I want to go. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Jude. I'm not going to ask you to stand until I hit the 20th verse, because I'm going to read the whole book of Jude. Amen. There's one chapter in the book of Jude, so don't worry. If I was going to read the whole book of Hezekiah, some of you are like, there's a book of Hezekiah? No, there's not. Didn't get the joke. Amen. But the whole book of Jude right here is just a 25 verses. It's a wonderful book. It's a blessed book. Hey, it's a book in the Bible. Amen. But I'm going to go ahead and start, and I won't try to take up much of your time. I know it's prayer meeting. I like prayer meeting. We are having Super Tuesdays right now, meaning that we have moved our midweek service to Tuesday. I believe Sister Dixie, is it next week you're gonna sing, or is it the week after? Do you remember? The week of the 16th. So you can come that day, and you can come next week also. Amen. The preacher preached a wonderful message last night. Brother Calvin Ray Evans preached a wonderful message on salt and how we are the salt of the world. But the wonderful thing about it is we were in church. I love church. That's one thing that makes up me, is I love church. And I'll go ahead and give you my title, and I've already asked you this. Why we are the way we are. Why we are the way we are. If someone asks you again, why are you the way you are? Perhaps you can reference this message that God has given me that I can give to you, and you can tell them why we are the way we are. Amen. It says here in the first verse, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly man, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, and set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, all these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, while when contending with the devil, he disrupted about the body of Moses, durst not bringing against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things that which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with your feeding themselves without fear. Clouds, they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit wherewith without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the root. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, whom should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Please stand with me for the last five verses. But ye, hey, this is getting personal. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some have compassion, making difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever, and amen. Father, we thank you for your day that you have given us. And God, we ask that you would just have your way, Father. Lord, that you would remove us of self, and Lord, that you would use me. God, I pray that this message would not fall on deaf ears, that, Lord, we would apply this great thought to our lives, Lord. Not that it's anything I had come up with, but Lord, it's from your word and from your guiding hand. And Lord, just allow us to be submissive unto the preaching, and allow us to be sensitive, Lord God, to what we hear. And Father, allow us to take it out and to rejoice knowing that, Lord, we are yours. Lord, I thank you for all that you give, and I thank you for all that you've done. And Lord, I thank you for all that you will do, in that of your Son's sweet and heavenly name. And amen. You may be seated. Now, I asked a question before I got into the scriptures. Have you ever been asked, why are you the way you are? I guess you would say that a lot of people are confused by the way we are. And the fact of the matter is God is not the author of confusion. So obviously they don't have God. The world is nothing but a confusing place. You don't know who identifies as who. You don't know what the next revealing will be. You don't know the next person who is going to accuse somebody else. You don't know what's going to happen next. And the thing is, the fact of the matter is, I don't care what happens next in the world. The only thing that I'm worried about is him coming again. But not only that, but I'm also worried about our lost. I'm worried about the fact of them not realizing that he's coming again. So a lot of times we get asked this: why do you go to church every Sunday when, hey, the Super Bowl is coming up? A lot of people won't say that word because I guess there's some legal issues or some trademark problems all going throughout television. But here's the thing: is they know what's coming up. It's a big old football game done by two teams, both teams making millions, if not billions, of dollars, and have no form of godliness. People are more worried about Sunday night football than they are about Sunday evening service. I was almost nervous last night. I wanted to ask everybody if they were ready for the Super Bowl just as a kid, but here's the thing. I was nervous at some of the people who might raise their hand. I mean, they have Super Bowl parties. They have festivities before. They have it after. They'll have riots because one team will lose and people will start throwing fits. But here's the thing. They wonder why we are the way we are. Why are you not accommodating to today's norms? Why are you not apt to change the way you act? Why are you not compromising? And I got an answer for them. Because Jesus did not. He's the same God today as he was yesterday, as he will be forevermore. Amen. That is why I am the way I am. I'm not going to give a large introduction. In fact, I want to get into the preaching. And I've only got four simple points to give you. And if you take notes, please go ahead and write these down. If you disagree with me, well, here's the thing, is that I'm the way I am because God tells me how to be. That's not a point. That's just how I want to tell you. I am the way I am because that's what God has told me the way to be. He told me to come out from among the heathen and be a separate people. Actually, he said them, but he was referencing the heathen. People are more worried about drama, about making people feel insecure or offended so that their norm and that their beliefs are accepted with no basis or ground upon it. Here's the thing, okay? I believe that God is a loving God. I believe that he is a just God. But I also believe that he is a wrathful God. I believe that he is an unchanging God. I believe that he's everywhere. I believe that he's all-knowing. And I believe that he's all-powerful. Amen. Omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. That's the God that I preach. That's the Jesus that I preach. Amen. So you want to know why I am the way I am? First of all, I want you to look in verse 20. I want you to look at a six-letter word that says beloved. Now, I told you when I had started on this 20th verse, I said this, be ye, and I said it's starting to get personal in here, amen? If you are here and you are blood-bought and blood-paid for, if you are saved, he's talking to you. You'll notice three times, verse 3, verse 17, and verse 20, he said beloved. You know what that word means? I began to write down some things that I, just me personally, what I felt the word beloved meant. First of all, it means simply this, loved one. It means loved one. One who is loved. Beloved. Not only that, but it's one who is held dear. My wife is my beloved. I hold her dear. She is mine, and I am hers. She's my beloved. It also means to be highly esteemed. It means to be held higher. It means to have a greater thought of. Isn't it amazing how he thinks of us? Amen. I mean, the very hairs of our head are numbered. His thoughts towards us are greater than the sum of the sand. I mean, we're poor, we're needy, but yet he thinks upon us. That's beloved. You'll notice here that when we look at this word beloved, he's speaking to us. So we know, first of all, here's the first point that I'd like to give you. We are the way we are because we know who we are. There's no confusion, amen? I know who I identify as, amen? Yes, I'm a man. But I'm also Jesus's. I'm his child. It says beloved. It also said, I also want you to realize, not only is it, am I beloved, but I'm His beloved. Ephesians 5:30 says, "For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bone." You'll notice that there was a personal ownership right there. A lot of times you'll hear this, "I am owned by nobody. Nobody owns me. Nobody can control me. Hey, the last time I checked, He didn't force me to get saved. I had to be willing. Last time I checked, nobody forced Him to go to the cross. He was willing." So if I can tell you this, I am more than blessed. I am more than happy. I am more than joyful to tell you that I am His. And praise God, He is mine. I like that, don't you? He is mine. You say, well, He's mine too. Praise God for that. That's something we have in common. That's something we can talk about for all eternity, amen? A lot of people will today tell you, well, I love Him more. That's what we need to get. Hey, we need to start having conversations about how much we love Him instead of how much we hurt or how bad things are getting. We need to start having conversations about how good He is to us and how blessed we are, amen? This is supposed to be an encouraging message. So we need to get, we might want to get a little worked up when I say, He is ours and I am His. Have you ever realized this? Now the Bible tells us clearly that we are many members made up of one body. That's the body of Christ, right? Amen? More people are worried about how they look, how they're dressed. I mean, be honest with you, listen, I did not know if this tie matched this shirt, to match this jacket, to match these slacks, to match these shoes, or this belt. I had to make sure that I looked okay, so I went to Christie. I'm not what is it called, a fashionable person. I'm that guy that I usually have a pair of jeans on and a black sweatshirt, and I wear black shoes because it's simple. But here's the thing. More people are worried about their bodies and how they look. But us Christians should realize that we have the greatest body of all. That's Jesus. That's the body of Christ. You may say, well, that's just spiritual. Hey, I serve a literal God too. Amen. And the last time I checked, there's literal people here. Now, I don't know if you're the thumb or the big toe, the earlobe. I don't know what you are. But just to know that I'm part of the body of Christ gives me something to praise Him for. Gives me something to enjoy. Gives me something to glorify in. When people are more worried about, hey, what they're going to identify in, or what modification, or what they're going to change, or what's going on out there. Hey, here's the thing. Here's the greatest thing ever, is that nothing right here is going to change because He doesn't change. I'm talking about the body of Christ, amen? A lot of times we'll use that bodily exercise profiteth little, and we'll leave it there so that we don't have to get on the treadmill. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that we still need to exercise in the Spirit. We still need to make sure that we're taking care of that body. We're making sure that we're checking on one another. We're making sure that one another knows that we're thinking about one another. Perhaps sending a card or a day brightener, or just picking up the phone or sending a text message. Or if you have social media, a Facebook message. Doing something to make sure that you know that, hey, you're part of the body and I want to make sure that you're taken care of. I want to make sure that you know you're loved. That's why we are the way we are, because we know who we are. Amen? Not only that, but we know what we stand on. Listen to me. The foundations of this world are ever changing. There are earthquakes day after day. When you build a house, the foundation after some times, it starts to shift a little bit. I know sometimes you would have to go in, maybe have a remediation company come in. They'll have to break that foundation up a little bit, put some new mortar, put some new brick, do something with it. Because, hey, it's always shifting, amen? But I like what it says in Matthew, and you know where I'm going, amen? Matthew chapter number 7, verses 24 through 28 says this. Now, we understand that what he was talking about was a warning against false teachers. And Jude over here has already sent a warning against false teachers. Listen, hey, it says how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. These are the ones wondering, why are you the way you are? These are loved ones too, by the way. You know you have those family members that for some reason, hey, they have nothing going on Saturday, but on Sunday at 2 p.m., that's when they usually have some sort of dinner or some sort of birthday party. Nothing's going on Saturday, that's their rest day, so they've got to do something on Sunday. I mean, I've got family members like that. But listen to this real quick. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things saying of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. That rock. Somebody said Jesus. Somebody, it's Jesus, right? I've already told you, I am the way I am because of Jesus. Listen to this. I'll go back to the first point. We know who we are. Who are we? We're Jesus's. I don't know the plural for it. We're Jesus. We're His. There's an odd plural right there. I don't want to make sure. I want to make sure you know that I'm His. But will you listen to this real quick? Upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. I'd have been okay if the Lord would put the rock. Amen. That's who He is to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. Amen. He is that rock. He's that firm foundation. We sing that song, How Firm a Foundation. He's our foundation. Amen. But this is what the world, and I'm going to finish this because this is what the world has built theirs on. And we all know this. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. And hey, sometimes these I'm not going to say Christians, but these are church members sometimes too. Just because the name's on the church roll doesn't mean you go to heaven. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, listen, and the rain descended. It's the same rain. The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. So I added that just so you know that I'm preaching Jesus, amen? Because ultimately, and I'm going to go off on a tangent just for a second. Ultimately, without a doubt, without anything being moved out of the way, without changing anything, it's all about Jesus. We are in a day, we are in a time where you walk into, When you walk into a church house and it's so thick because you're worried about offending someone. You're worried about lifting your hand up in praise. Sister Sarah, you're worried. They're worried about shouting because people are worried about who is that? Who's looking? Oh, they got to be one of them charismatic people. And people start worrying and getting nervous. Last night I told the pastor, I said, we need to pray. I'm going to pray that it's not going to be like that tonight. And that's how it doesn't need to be like this at Victory, okay, amen? It needs to be free. Why? Because he's made us free. And when he makes us free, we're free indeed. We're free to worship him. We're free to serve him. We're free to tell people about him. We're free to stand up and say amen. We're free to sing songs. We're free to be full of joy. We're free to express the fact of knowing that we are Jesus's. Listen to me. I don't worry. I'm not going to worry about what somebody else says, okay? I worry about what he says. I'm worried about him. I don't have to worry about him. But I want him to think highly of me, amen. Listen to me. I don't want to just be quiet about it. But not only do we know where we stand. Listen to this real quick. Ephesians 19 through 20. Real quick. I want to hasten along here just real quick. Ephesians 2, 19 through 20 states this. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. The last time I checked, you needed a foundation to build a house. I'm not talking about a beach house that are just built on some pillars. Because those don't last. I'm talking about a solid, firm foundation. But listen to this. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, when I look at the apostles and prophets, who did they preach? Who did they teach? Who did they worship? Who did they die for? Jesus. God. I'm talking Old Testament. I'm talking New Testament. It was all for God. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I believe that Jesus is God. I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Son, I believe in God the Holy Ghost. Some people would say, well, you're just separating them. Oh no, they're all one. They're all one. Ask me how to explain it and I'll be here forever because you cannot reach the end of that. Amen. But, so we see here, we know what we stand on. We know that he is our foundation. We know that he is a strong foundation. In fact, we know that he is our strength. And I began to think about this real quick. I began to look, and you ever study your Bible and you get worked up, because the more you're reading, just that more that spirit starts to flow. And then you got to, I was texting a brother, and I texted him. I said, I just got to tell you that I love you. And he texted me back. He said, I love you too. And I said, but because I was studying my Bible. And he said, I'm there with you. I understand. I get what you're saying. Not to be boastful, but when you get into that communal spirit, one with God, you want to tell everybody about it. Amen. Now, here's the thing. Up until this point, I've told you why we are the way we are. I've told you in the first point why we are the way we are, because we know who we are. Amen. Not only that, not only do we know who we are, but we know what, and I'll add this, who we stand on, who we stand for. That's something even, hey, that's something even deeper right there. Who do you stand for? Everybody's wondering, what do you believe? What do you stand on? Everybody's wondering about, do I stand on what's going on in Washington? Do I worry about what's going on at the State House? Do I stand on that? No, here's the thing, is I stand on a firm foundation, and His name is Jesus Christ. And what He tells me to do, I'm going to do. And you may say, well, you're going to fail. Well, yeah, I'm going to fail. I'm human. I mess up. But praise God, I serve a forgiving God. I serve one who reminds me of who I am. Amen. But when you look at this and what we know, what we stand on, that means we know who we serve. And when people ask us why we are the way we are, I believe in searching the Scriptures, amen. I believe in studying to show ourselves approved. That's biblical. But I also believe this, is that why we are the way we are is because we know who to go to. We know who to go to. Hey, when things are hard, hey, when things are tough, I'm telling you nothing new. But here's a remembrance. And I can't tell you how many times, and I can't tell you, you know, if it's financial, if it's medical, if it's personal, if it's ethical, if it's whatever. You know, here's the thing, is sometimes you have that question and it comes up to you and you just don't know how to directly answer it. But here's the blessings right here, is we know who to go to. In verse 20, right here, it says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, that right there, some people would say, oh, we don't believe in speaking in tongues, and that's not what I'm talking about, amen. I'm not talking about that. That's not what even remotely what that means. What this means right here, amen, is you're actually praying a prayer. And let me reiterate on that. I have said a prayer, and I have prayed a prayer. Here's the difference. Saying a prayer, a lot of times it's repetitive, right? I usually have the same intro to every prayer. Our most gracious and kind Heavenly Father. That's usually the intro that I have to prayer. And it's okay to have an intro to prayer because when you pray, it's almost like writing a love letter. But then usually it starts to go off, and sometimes it's a tangent. Sometimes it's so repetitive, it's like you have rehearsed this over and over again. You're asking for the same thing over and over again, and you're not expecting any results. You're just trying to get that thought out of your mind so you can think about something else. But when you truly pray a prayer, I mean, when you go into that closet, I mean, when you steal away, hey, here's the thing about this, is that you could be in a crowded room, and when you're truly praying a prayer, it's just a one-on-one time with God. I mean, you're directly talking to that intercessor, and you're bringing your petition before the Lord, and you don't care who's looking at you. You don't care who hears you. Sometimes you're not even audibly saying it, but you know that you are on a direct line with the Lord. I use this a lot. My father-in-law, sitting at a lunch table, bowed his head, and he had a spread before him of food, bowed his head. Maybe 5-10 seconds of that. I mean, this is a man who would probably pray. He would probably have prayed over a glass of water. I mean, I know men like that. And I'll audibly say a man's name, Brother Ronnie Smith, who married me and Christy. He's that guy that would pray over water. If he had a bottle of water before he drank it, that's just how he was. He was just thankful for everything. But he began to pray, and he lifted his head up, and he began to eat. And the guy said, sir, what were you just doing? He said, I was praying. He goes, well, I didn't hear you. And he goes, I wasn't talking to you. I know I've said that to you. You've been time and time again. But isn't it wonderful to know that, hey, you don't have to audibly say anything, but he knows the intentions of the heart. We as God's children, we as the ones that he died for, we as the ones who have realized that we were nothing without him, can go and have a direct communication. And we have that intercessor. Job talked about that dazed man who was betwixt us. Hey, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray a prayer. A lot of times we'll just say a prayer. And in that stance, truthfully, nothing happens. But when we go to him in the Spirit, that's that Holy Ghost. That's that Spirit. That's that direct connection. Hey, here, real quick, and I keep going back. I'll go to, real quick, Matthew chapter number 7. We know verse 7 and 8. But it says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh shall be opened. My son, he'll ask for permission of things. Daddy, can I get a Pop-Tart? Daddy, can I watch a show? Usually it's, Daddy, can I get on the Nintendo Switch? It's something like that. It's everything. And sometimes I'll look at him and go, why are you asking? Just go do it. And then it clicks, no, that's not how it is it? That's permission. That's respect. That's acknowledgement of knowing, hey, I have to have my father's permission before I do this. How is it any different with our Heavenly Father? If not so much more. Brother, you were talking about a house and put in a bid for a house. Yeah, I'm going to use you real quick. And apparently the house fell through. Amen. Next time, or you may have, pray for the house. Pretty soon, I'm going to need a new vehicle. But if it was up to me, I'd buy the most expensive thing and just worry about the car payment later. My credit's okay. But God, do I really need it? Or do I want it? Missionaries. Lord, I feel like I need to support this missionary. Lord, how much or when or what should I do? See, that's the wonderful thing, is that you can go to God at any time. There is no 1-800 collect. There is no 10-10-3. Remember those little numbers? You know, it was like 10 cents. No, it's free to talk to him. I love talking to him. And sometimes, hey, listen to this. I'll get to the fourth point in just a second. But sometimes he just wants to hear from you. You say, you imagine how many people are actually praying? Hey, he can hear you as if it was just you and him. Because he's God. Don't try to explain it. I heard a man say this at we were at the fellowship meeting on Monday, and I believe it was your pastor. He was talking with me and Brother Andrew Phipps Sr. And one of them said this in the lines, and forgive me, but it's almost like we have gotten too smart, too educated. We're trying to break it down when it is the most simplest thing. I think it was in reference to salvation, but it's also like that with prayer. We don't have to go and talk to someone and say, do you think it's all right to get on the line with God? No. We can go to him at any time. Now, here's the final point. And this is what ties it all up to it. Now, why we are the way we are? First of all, because we know who we are. We know what we stand on. We know who to go to. That's why we are the way we are. When we got saved, this has been this is to the Christian. When we got saved, we became a new creature. Amen. And the opportunity, the blessings that He has given us, we must remember and apply. Amen. But listen to this. We know why we can do this. And here's what I mean. Verse 21, it says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Why? Because Jesus told us to. Jesus said so. You ever have that? "Because my dad said so. Because my mom said so." Used to have that as when I was a kid. My little brother would begin to, you know, follow me, my friends. They're like, "Where are you going?" "I'm going with you." "Why?" "Because mom said I could." And then I'd throw a fit and put my hands in the air. And, "Mom," you know how it is. But we have been given the directive from our Lord, "Go ye out into the world." Amen. What if someone told you to stop? What if someone said, "You know what? I get it. I get you, why you are the way you are, but you need to stop it." They tried that with Peter. They tried that with Silas. They tried that. Hey, remember when they threw them in jail and they said, "We told you directly not to speak in this man's name." And Peter and them said this, "We ought to obey God rather than man." See, here's the thing. They're trying. They're trying to remove him. They're trying to stifle him. They're trying to take him out. They're trying to kill him. But they can't. Why? Because we're here. Because he's on the throne. Because he's in control. Because his power has not diminished. So many people think, "Oh, these are hard. Look at the times that we're in. Do you think this is anything new? This has been going on." Real quick, and then I'm done. Real quick. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And we know this. We know this. We've heard this. We've read this. We've preached this. We've taught this. Listen. "This know also that in the last day perilous times shall come." Newsflash. They're here. They're here. You may say, "Well, why would you say that?" Let's continue to read. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Hey, kids. I'm just saying. If I could take some things back to what I did as a kid, I'm talking about grandparents too. I'm talking about family. Listen to this. "Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady." Hey, know what that means? Violent. Impetuous. That's what that means. Violent. So many people today are more worried about who they can beat up or how hard they can hit than rather this: who can I help and who can I give love to? Who can I share the love of Jesus Christ with? As preachers, we're told not to be brawlers. As preachers, we're told not to be puffed up. But hey, that's the qualifications for you too. We're more worried about how strong we are and putting people down than the strength we could receive from lifting someone up. Listen to this. High-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. But I'll read this one more time. Keep yourselves in the love of God. I'm thankful for chastisement. I'm thankful that I get my feelings hurt. Because we need to be kept in check. That goes back to the, we are owned by Him. We are His. We are in the family of God. It doesn't matter what you did, let's say even 5 minutes ago. From now on, what are you going to do? Are you more worried about what's going on tomorrow? Are you more worried about what's going on in the world tomorrow? We're not promised tomorrow, amen. We're given today and that day. And I'm looking for that day. But listen to this. But keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of your Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. If I was to ask one of these little ones here, how long is forever? They'd probably say forever. Man went searching on a missions journey to find out how much all was. Spent his whole life and came to the realization that it was all. That's what it means. That's what forever means. That's what eternity means. Now, I'm going to end this with this. Lost person, you have found out why we are the way we are as Christians. But can I ask you here, if you are here and lost, if you're not 100% sure that you're saved, why are you the way you are? I'll give you an answer. Because you're lost. You see, eternal life, eternal glory, heaven, that's the gift that I've been given. That's the gift as we've been given, church. Christian, that's what we've been given. But if you deny Him, you're saying you want hell. You're saying you don't want Him. Some people are saying, well, I haven't made up my mind yet. Listen to this. You have. You have made up your mind. If you're more worried about what's going on in the world, you have made up your mind. If you're more worried about what's going to happen with just in general, let's say life, you have made up your life. Because here's the thing. I take no thought for myself. He's in control. My path is already set out. And you say, well, that doesn't sound very fun. It's joy unspeakable. Because I have lived in the world. I spent 21 years in the world. Done things and said things. Most of you know, if not all of you know, what I've done. The things that I have to bear. But wouldn't it be, why wait? Why wait and find out what it's like in the world? Here's what it's like out in the world. Heartache. anger. I think this is 2 years since my best friend took their own life. This week. I have three people that I can tell you I've known up almost until the day I was born, and two out of those three are dead. One because of suicide and one because of alcohol. The third one, he just thinks he's been lucky, not saved. I know what it's like to be out in the world. I know what it's like to have lost family. And I also know what it's like to have saved people around me and mean just not wanting to hear it. But sooner or later, the choice is either going to be made up by you or the choice is going to be taken away. Because we are not promised tomorrow. So I would offer this. If you don't know what it means to be saved, and you want to talk about it, I'm here. These fine gentlemen are here. These fine sisters are here, ladies. But if you just want to cast it out and say, not today, I'm just here because that's your choice too. But I will tell you this, that Jesus loves you. And he died for you. And it's not a game. There's no reset button on life, is there? Can't take it back. There's no time machine. The only thing that we can do is move forward and tell people about Jesus and explain to them why we are the way we are. There's going to be scoffers. If there's a lost person here today, maybe you're that scoffer. I know I was. There's going to be mockers. There's going to be people to put you down. But I'm thankful to say that there's one who lifts us up, amen. And he lifted me up. And he still to this day lifts me up. So, brother, why don't you get a song? Or I know it's prayer time. Let's sing one song. Let's sing one song. Give an old-fashioned altar call. All those who would, please stand with us.
He turns me in the Red Songbook to page 167. Pass me not.
I was asked everyone here to recite John 3:16. The majority of you know it's the main language verse we've been working on. And it simply states this: for God, who's God, he's the creator. He's the one who created me. He's the one who spoke the world into existence. But there's this word right after for God, and it's so. Who can tell me how it's so? Anybody? So we have the gifter, God. We have the giftee, the world. We have the giving. But think about the greatest gift there is.
It's that gift that was given. It, well, he wasn't taken. He wasn't pushed. A lot of times you'll hear that song where he had to look over heaven. No, he voluntarily said, I'll go. And left the portals of glory. Was born of a virgin. Walked this earth for 33 years. Willingly took the stripes across his back. Willingly took the hair of his beard being plucked out, being spit on, being lied on, being accused, laid. He didn't have to force it down, laid on that cross. Took the nails in his hands. Died. God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son. That means that he came from God. That means he is God. Begotten. That was, hey, my begotten, my child. That whosoever, I'm thankful to be part of that whosoever. Belief in him should not perish. For what is it, buddy? An everlasting life. And we're worried about him. We're worried about people thinking negative of us. They hated him so much that they killed him. But really, he died. So when I say killed, I meant he willingly died for us. Go ahead, brother. One verse. How about this one?
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
I'm going to say one more day. Maybe next service. You know, we're not, like I said, we're not promised tomorrow, but here's the thing, is I'm fully intending to go to church on Sunday. I am. I'm full. That's the plan that I have. And who knows, maybe I'll make it to the next 200 Sundays. Maybe I'll live to be a 103. Maybe my great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren will be here. One day unto the Lord is 1,000 years, is 1,000 years one day. But I don't want to waste one opportunity to praise him. There was a notable prisoner. And what that meant was is that he was a thief. He was a murderer. He was charged with treason. And there was a Savior. And they were standing side by side. Pilate said, pick one. And they said, give us Barabbas. He said, what should I do? And Jesus Christ, crucify him. Now I'll go back to the notable prisoner real quick. That notable prisoner, he was a murderer. Hey, he died for our sins. Jesus Christ did. He was a thief. We are stealing an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus. He was charged with treason. And then he went against the king. He went against the crown. Every moment you spend without him, you go against him. Even the plowing of the wicked is sin. You can't properly love without Jesus. So many heads. I didn't know what it was to be a father without Jesus. I didn't know what it was to be a husband without Jesus. The opportunity still stands. The altar still open. Brother, I'm there.
You may be seated.